back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, the Starfinder news, reviews, and interviews podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson J. Becker, also known as Param.
I'm Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
I'm James. I write Code Switch.
Yes, and we're also joined today by two very special guests from Paizo, Jason Keeley and Chris Sims.
Hello.
Hey, you two. Thanks for joining us. How's your day going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's going good.
Yeah.
Sweet. Living a dream.
I think it stopped raining here for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Now,
it stopped raining in Seattle?
Yes.
That,
amazing. Oh.
I'm pretty sure that there's some mad weather machine going on, at least over here, because we had 80-degree weather and had to turn the air conditioner up yesterday, and then ice storm today. So this is definitely not the fun times. But we're not here to talk about mad weather, or maybe we are. I'm not sure exactly what's going to be in these upcoming adventure paths. No, we are here to talk about the Starfinder adventure paths, current, and more importantly, upcoming.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Now, I would like to address that those of you wondering where No Direction Beyond was a couple of weeks ago, this is a makeup episode, so thank you all for coming back and rescheduling. We had to cancel the last episode with hours to spare due to a family emergency that could not be avoided. However, we are back, we're not going anywhere, and we're going to have a fun time. We are also filming live in front of a Twitch audience. So if you have any questions for us or our guests throughout the show, type them out in Twitch. We'll be gathering those up throughout the episode and asking them on air as we can. So, you two, what can you tell us about what is an adventure path?
Oh, well, we're going that basic. Okay. an adventure path is a series of linked adventures that tells an entire sort of campaign story that we are now, we will be eventually in August releasing the Starfinder Adventure Path monthly. So you'll be able to get more Starfinder Adventure Path goodness more often.
When Starfinder was announced, the inclusion of an adventure path, I guess, was expected, but I also think incredibly important based on what had been said in the past and really the success of Paizo and its identity. At one point in time, you all have been quoted as saying that the adventure path line for Pathfinder at the time was your flagship product. Do you think that statement is still true, and does it also hold true for Starfinder?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's our chance to show all of our players and readers and whatnot what's going on in our various worlds, Glarion and then Pack Worlds for Starfinder. So we want to show you the kinds of adventures you can create on your own if you need to, and just sort of tell our own fun, interesting stories that you can all participate in. So, yeah, it's very important.
And from my perspective, as somebody who's a little more new, to me, that's what Paizo's all about, is that type of storytelling. So, yeah.
And that is a good point to bring up, Chris. I mean, Jason might as well have his own chair on the show at this point. But this is your first time on
it. I'm coming for you, Alex.
Laser fight. I guess we're going to have to laser tag battle for the last hosting slot.
Joe, I'm going to be at PaizoCon this year. Jason, laser tag battle for the hosting slot?
Yeah.
Sure, yes.
Why not? It's on.
Yes. Do you guys have laser tag in Seattle, or is it too wet?
No, that stuff is usually indoors.
All right.
Hold on. Karaoke fight.
Oh, I don't know if you want that. I'm pretty sure that every time I open my mouth to sing, discordant note comes out.
Well, then I want that. I'll win. Anyway, enough about this.
Now, Chris, this is your first time on the No Direction show. So for those of you who have yet to be acquainted with you, what can you tell us about how you got involved in the role-playing hobby?
In the role-playing hobby? Mm-hmm. That's going way back. I started playing Dungeons & Dragons when I was 8 years old with basic D&D. So that's how I got started. If you're talking about how I got started writing or working, I started actually reviewing material back in 2001 or so. During third edition, and long story short, I ended up editing for Wizards of the Coast, and the rest is kind of history. I moved forward from there. I've been working in the industry ever since, really.
Awesome. What products might some of our listeners be familiar with that you've worked on?
Third edition Rules Compendium, fourth edition Dark Sun, all the fifth edition books, And my first Starfinder product that I was privileged to work on is going to be Armory.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
The Armory is one we're very much looking forward to. You guys have been teasing us with the Armory since Gen Con.
We know what you guys want. We want more stuff.
More every lasers.
More everything,
yeah. We already have all the stuff. So
yeah, we have to share the stuff.
But we need to know what we're going to be pointing that stuff at and making explode. So the first adventure path to launch for Starfinder was the Dead Sun's adventure path, which involved the Starfinder Society directly and was released bimonthly, and will finish up here very shortly as we come into Gen Con, mm-hmm. correct?
The last issue will be out in June.
In June. Mm-hmm. And how's the feedback been with that?
I think it's been pretty positive. People have... I'm going to listen to a few actual play podcasts of people playing through the campaign, and I really like what I'm hearing, so I think it turned out pretty well.
I mean, that has to be...
It's turning out pretty well.
That has to be a trip to have worked on these products and then hearing so many different groups and actually being able to listen to people play it.
Yeah, it's kind of helped me with the development. Actually, it's like I started listening to some of these actual play podcasts before we even finished developing number 5 and number 6. So I sort of started thinking about like, oh, people are asking this question. Maybe I can answer it later. And actually, when they read it, they'll be surprised.
Now, James,
that's part of the magic of role-playing games, though. I mean, working on role-playing games is seeing people playing with that stuff and talking about it. That's one of the best things about it. So,
now, James, you're actually running Dead Sons, aren't you?
Yeah, and Alex is playing in it with me.
Ooh, how's that going?
I've been trying to kill him every session, and it's almost working. I'm getting close.
Literally, he got me in our last game. He got me to 0 hit points, 0 stamina, 0 resolve.
Whoa.
Literally. You're not dead. One round more. If someone didn't shove a serum down my throat, I would have been dead.
I've done everything. I've burned him. I've sicked large creatures on him. I filled them with worms.
Large creatures. No, I had so many worms in my body. It was not fun. No, not fun at all. He's definitely tried, and I've made it as easy for him as possible because I'm playing a melee soldier. So I just charge in there with my sword, and James is like, oh, hey, look. I have a dinosaur, and you have a 15-year-old soldier. Yay!
Are you going to be helping James out here, Jason?
Killing probably.
Alex?
We can talk about Volume 5, which is coming out this month. And you can kind of see, this is a very colorful cover. And you can actually see there's a fun beastie right here that will most surely be able to swallow and chomp up James, Alex, I mean. So...
Can it literally swallow
him? It might be able to. Actually, let me check the stats.
I see Alex sweating.
Yeah, Alex is sweating.
It has an ability. It has an ability called double bite.
Oh god! two bites, one boy.
Yeah, it's kind of got two mouths, one up here and one down here. it's pretty big, and it does have swallow hole. So,
mouth do I get swallowed by then? Both the upper mouth or the bottom mouth?
Whichever one it chooses.
Yeah, it's bigger than you. Yeah, I do. The bestiaries, like looking through the GM, are some of my favorite parts of those books because the flavor text that comes with some of those creatures is amazing. Like the one creature that's from like Versus that you have to like ring your cities around, otherwise it'll just steal your children. they're just really well written, so I've been appreciating that.
We have not a ton of space on these alien archives in the back of Starfinder AP, so we try our best to get it done. I should quickly mention too, this volume is written by Stephen Radney McFarlane, so it's pretty vicious.
Oh no.
I feel like
now Compton's Fury is trying to murder me, and now I get to look forward to Amanda's Fury trying to murder me, and then Steven's Fury, and then Owen's Fury. Just everybody, so much anger poured onto me. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first time Alex doesn't play a Kitsune, and you throw in this, he's just getting killed all the time.
Right. It's like you guys just want me to go back. You're like, no, you can't be human. You've already sold that off. You can't do that.
If you can't venture rage when you're riding an adventure path, what can you do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, my favorite part about the Adventure Path bestiaries is the fact that they always come with, like, at least one playable species. Like, one of them has this weird box guy race who, like, can bull rush you. He's not actually a box, but, like, his
body shape is a box. Oh, I wrote that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he bull rushes you. It's like, oh, man, oh, no, I'm going flying. Gee willikers, guys.
Volume number 5 has 5 new playable races in it.
Wow.
Yes.
Listen, we have a guy in the No Direction Discord who, like, takes all the races, like, that everybody writes and puts them into a giant table, and he always complains whenever I write a new one because then he's got to update the tables. I am looking forward to hearing him hear about this. It's going to be fun.
We had jellyfish people. As you can see right here on the back, we have, like, amoeba people, beetle people, snake people, all kinds of good stuff in here.
I really want to know more. Is that something you can share? I would love to know about amoeba people.
Let's talk about amoeba people.
Ooh, okay. Is that cool too, Param? Yes, what's about amoeba people?
They can... this picture. this picture basically has him storing his gear inside of himself.
Why
wouldn't you? You know, they're basically sort of big oozes. You can play an ooze, sentient ooze.
Yes.
There's a whole write-up on
monster type.
There's a whole write-up on each of these five races have a write-up on their home planet in the one of the articles. So there's a lot to know about each of them.
Okay, awesome. I'm excited.
And that and that draws some attention to an aspect of the Adventure Path that has been mentioned before, but I think bears repeating. They have a player focus that the other Pathfinder Adventure Paths haven't had. You've got a sort of like a little mini gazetteer and or player kit in each one of these.
Yeah, because Starfinder doesn't have the player companion line. We don't even have the campaign setting line to flesh out these stuff for players. Because, you know, as much as we'd like to make adventures that can kill players, we also want to give stuff to players for them to maybe be able to survive a little easier, which is why we have a whole book of armory, but that can also be used by GMs. And in general, we want to try to present something for both GMs and players in sort of every book that we do.
Yeah, armory will present some ways to kill Alex.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, excellent. New critical hit effects. And
listen, if I die, I'm going to roll a Skittermander that quad wields pistols like Stitch and Lilo and Stitch. So go ahead, James, murder me. I promise it won't have consequences.
Oh, now I'm getting held hostage. the player options in, especially Dead Sons 2, there's a whole new mystic connection, which is like in Pathfinder APs, you usually see like an item or two that they explain, but like actual whole new class things are actually pretty neat. It's been really cool.
So I have all of them and I read the player facing stuff, but I don't read the adventures. And doesn't one of them have like an entire fighter fighting style or something in it?
Mm-hmm. It has an extra combat style.
That's number 2, okay. Right?
Yeah, or at least another option for a combat.
Because I feel like that's
the
one that has
the Cult of the Devourer.
Super cool disintegrator pistols.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's got a gear boost for disintegrator.
Yeah, that's what it is, gear boost.
Oh. I mean, anything that lets you roll a d20 for damage is okay in my book.
You can still roll a 1.
I mean, you can, but the power of holding that d20 and being like, this is how much I hurt you, is great.
Yeah. Now, Dead Sons was the first adventure path for Starfinder. In a lot of ways, is where everybody's going to be drawn to see what Starfinder can really bring to the table. What were your goals when you were writing this that you needed to present?
Well, our creative director, Rob McCreary, is the one who essentially sort of started that first outline. And since he had so much experience with adventure paths, he was basically the one to go, like, he knew how to essentially show off our setting. It's what he wanted to do. It's why it starts in Absalom Station. It goes to a couple planets in the Pack Worlds. It goes beyond the Pack Worlds. It kind of does basically everything. You know, basically everything a Starfinder campaign would sort of encompass. Mm-hmm.
It definitely has a Reign of Winter feeling, which makes sense because Rob wrote that one.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Go anywhere.
But you're talking with a group that's all done Reign of Winter.
But now that. Now that you're wrapping up Dead Sons, you've announced that there are going to be 2 more adventure paths to follow it, and with a format change.
Yes, we're going to a 3-volume change for the next 2 adventure paths. The first one is called Against the Aeon Throne, where we pit you against the Aslanti Star Empire for some espionage and some fighting against these evil expansionists. And then
they're very bad people.
They're not good people. And then after that, we're moving on to after that three volume, doing another three volumes. And that second three volume actually level wise can pick up where Against the Aeon Throne leaves off. So if you want to, you can actually play the all six volumes in order if you'd like. But the one after that is called Signal of Screams, and it goes into our space horror stuff that we can talk about more in length later. And Chris is writing the first adventure for that.
Yes, I am.
So it's keeping that in the family to get that spookiness just right.
Oh. And are those bi-monthly?
Still? No, those are still monthly. Those are bi-monthly. Yep. And then, you know, that'll take us through February of next year, and which is we'll get to an adventure path that we'll announce soon later, though. Not here. Sorry.
It's my first adventure path, my first precious adventure path.
Yes, it's Chris is the one doing the main development on the adventures for that, and he's written up a great outline. I'm very excited about this one. I'm excited about all of them, to be honest, but it's it'll be fun to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, it's super fun to work on these things. So,
what was the decision to go to the three AP format?
We wanted to try out a couple different things without sort of committing to the full six volume arc. And once we were switching over to monthly, we wanted to go like, well, we can kind of like essentially sort of like catch ourselves up if by the end of, you know, this year, we should have had two adventure paths and gotten through a third. So we're sort of like in a way to sort of short circuit that to now to get back into the regular schedule. Frankly, you know, these two stories, the Aeon Throne one and the spooky one, kind of more lend themselves to shorter bursts of campaign adventureness. That's not a word, but there you go.
So what are some of the things go ahead, Alex.
Oh, so are we going to defeat the Aeon Throne and then never see the Aslantes again and they'll be gone?
No, that's one of our sort of one of our major threats of the setting is the Aslanti Star Empire. So you're not going to defeat them. You're certainly going to foil them a bit. The adventure goes into explain exactly why you're not fighting the entire Aslanti Star Empire. But you are going into their space, which no one has ever done before. At least anyone from the back world has ever done before.
So, since you got these, three sets of three going on, would it be, in the future, you're like, okay, well, we've told this little mini three-part adventure path here. Here's another mini three-part adventure path where you do more to them. Or, is that something that's not going to happen? I guess is the three adventure path format something that we're only going to see this one time as a catch-up? Or is it going to be something you guys will, take feedback on and possibly do again in the future?
Yeah, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Once we see what the feedback is, when they actually get the two three-parters, or at least the first one, and see if maybe next year or the year after that we'll go to another three-parter that picks up, you know, maybe do some higher level stuff, something like that. We're always on the lookout on the boards for what people are saying about this.
It's a useful way to tell a shorter story too. I mean, yeah. So.
And Starfinder doesn't have a modules line to sort of funnel the shorter stories into, does it?
That's right. No, it doesn't.
I guess you have the...
We have the scenarios for Starfinder Society, which also tell short stories, but that is something in between a scenario and a full adventure, six-volume adventure path. We have to fit those stories in somewhere.
Plus, the setting is so vast that, and there's so many stories to tell that, you know, every day I find something new, even working on it, that I'm like, oh, man, I could run a whole campaign based on this. So right.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a lot of good questions now, Param. Should we pick one?
Yeah, let's go ahead and grab a question from the audience real quick. What? Pick one, Alex.
Imperiosaur says, are we going to see campaign backgrounds in Adventure Path player guides the way that Pathfinder Society and Pathfinder's campaign lines have campaign traits?
Specific? Actually, the very first Against the Aeon Throne volume, which was... written by Ron Lundeen, so you know it's going to be good. Does introduce a new theme that is not necessarily everyone has to take for this particular adventure path, but it basically presents a sort of the colonist theme, and this adventure path sort of begins on a sort of new colony that of the Pack Worlds.
That's pretty cool.
The second one actually has a theme that's related in that way, too. I mean, it's not something that you would have to use.
Right, the second volume of...
No, not the second volume of Aeon Throne, but the second Signal of Screams.
Oh, Signal of Screams.
I guess along those same lines, Empyrosaur also wants to know if we're going to see player's guides for the new Starfinder APs.
Probably not for until we get some sort of like legs under us a little bit more. At the moment, what we're doing, at least for Against the Aeon Throne and for Signal of Screams, presenting on the first page of the adventure some basic sort of like, hey, GMs, this is how you maybe get some plot hooks you might get your players interested, that work a little bit like super mini player's guides. For example, the first volume of Against the Aeon Throne has basically like for every of the themes, one of the themes in the core rulebook, where it says like, for this character knows this important NPC, important, you know, good aligned NPC, how you know this person.
Okay.
If you're the icon, you might have saved her life to such and such.
No, I'm trying
That's
to,
pretty cool.
I'm trying to avoid using the word themes because we're going to have some adjective crossover here. But what are some story elements and game elements that Against the Aeon Thrones is going to present that is different from what we've seen in the Dead Sons?
Well, as I mentioned, you're going into the Aslanti Star Empire space, which is basically forbidden. In fact, the stewards, where the Pact World sort of peacekeeping organization, have sort of forbidden Pact World ships from going to the Aslanti Star Empire space because anyone who's done so has been killed. So there's some espionage in there, basically working your way through kind of behind enemy lines sort of feel, not being able to necessarily go down to Absalom Station's corner shop and buy whatever the heck you want. So like working with what you find, that kind of stuff. And then sort of learning about the Aslanti Star Empire as you go and their terribleness.
Oh, their terribleness. How strong an adjective.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a completely pleasant neighborhood to just go visit?
No, it's not a pleasant trip.
So you're telling me that I'm not... Go ahead.
You're going to be going to a prison moon, a research station with enslaved scientists, that kind of stuff.
Don't enslave the scientists.
So there's a very small chance that we're going to actually get to go to like a cake and bacon then, right?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that is.
Alex, what is that? Tell us what that is.
It is like a little... It's like a little restaurant with that specializes in putting out cakes and bacon.
I've never heard of this thing before, but I like cake and I
the Aslanti do not like bacon.
That's what makes them so bad and evil.
And they will not tolerate cake.
I get not liking cake, but bacon's essential.
Also no pie.
Well, we are terrible. To make sacrifices.
Huh.
Now,
is Chris a lich or a necrovite?
Me?
Yeah.
Hey.
What?
Why would you ask that?
Because he doesn't like anything that's wholesome or good.
He likes it.
No, I love that stuff.
I misunderstood what you said then. I'm sorry.
All right, so...
Listen, now that you know my secret, I'll have to come to visit you soon.
Oh, please don't do that.
It'll be very easy. He's very powerful.
Okay, so with the adventure path to follow up with it, it's got another first for you guys, an adventure path that does not assume starting at level 1. So how is that going to work?
Essentially, we say you start at level 7. If you have played through Against the Aeon Throne, you'll be at level 7 and you can just continue on, and we give you a little campaign hook to sort of explain what you've done and how you get to the point at the beginning of Signal Screams. Otherwise, we could just start at 7th level.
Yeah, and it kind of ties into the characters being well-known or starting to be established in whatever field that they're in, and some of the adventure hooks work from that standpoint. Like, one of the reasons you're involved in what's happening is because people know about you already. So if you make 7th level characters, then you can make characters that are already kind of established in their field. And if you're coming from Aeon Throne, then... For one thing, you might be famous from what you've done in the Aeon Throne adventure path. So all that works to the advantage of the introduction to this storyline.
Now, you guys haven't released a ton of info about this one yet, but what can you tell us about Signal Screams?
I'm going to let Chris talk about it since he's writing the first adventure.
Well, you're going to let me talk about it, but I don't know what I can say.
I mean, you know, people don't want to necessarily be 100% spoiled, but anything that they might read on, like, the product page, you can talk about where it starts and what you're doing there.
So how it starts is you're invited to the soft reopening of a resort in the diaspora. And it's an invite only. They ran a contest too, which is another possible adventure hook where some of the PCs could have won a position to go to this resort. And when you get there, things go very wrong.
I don't know that
I
don't know that ever going to a space resort on a contest has ever gone well in anything I've ever read.
That's a
just
fair
a resort and a contest general. Mm-hmm. In general. Although, James, that sounds like the perfect plot hook for Masuka Hane.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, she would find herself there. I mean, we'll see if I can drag her out of there.
No.
Then you mentioned it's going to be a space horror.
That's right.
Game. Right.
What does that mean as far as role playing game?
It means nobody can hear you scream.
That's right, because you're in space. Eventually, we're going to be exploring some spooky things. And the Adventure Path title is Signal of Screams, for instance. You know, so it's not just it's not Signal of Laughing or Eating Brownies.
Ponies.
Or Signal of Ponies. it's none of those things. It's going to be some terrible things that are going to start to happen. Maybe this resort is haunted. Maybe there's something else going on. It's going to be up to the players to sort of find that out and hopefully survive. And at this point, since we're starting at 7th level, we can kind of like throw more terrible things at the players and just sort of assume that they're going to be able to defeat them for the most part. But
so, and part of horror is playing with misdirection and player expectations and kind of pulling out the unexpected. So
you can confirm then that it's not actually being written by Thurston Hillman, and it's not actually a 64-page bid for Alabastine in space.
No, it's not. Okay. Thirsty is participating. He's not writing any of the adventures, but he will be able to have written something for one of the back matter articles later on. I'll just go on with this because there's some very exciting things that are happening, at least in this first volume. The first volume also includes a little bit of a sort of corruption system that is it's based a little bit on the one from Horror Adventures Pathfinder, but sort of updated for Starfinder in a lot of ways. And we also have an article that's about running horror campaigns and from the player's point of view and from a GM's point of view, like how do you play a space horror game and how do you run it? And we're in there sort of talk about, consent and comfort levels and whatnot about that. And that particular article, I'm excited to say is being written by Epidiah Ravishall, the creator of Dread. The indie role playing game using Jenga. So he and I go way back. So I pinged him to write this for me.
Wow,
building terror. Yes.
I feel like this. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say I feel like this is a question that you kind of have to ask in a post horror adventures world. What's this article gonna bring to the table that giant 256 page book doesn't bring to the table?
It's gonna be because we can't assume that everyone who's played Starfinder has played this sort of this entire book. So it will cover some of the same ground, but we are gonna focus more about like what does. We're not going to go through every single sort of horror genre, for instance, because we only have 8 pages. We're going to talk a little bit more about like things that might be specific to science fantasy horror. Creatures in the dark, body horror, augmentations go wrong, that kind of stuff. So, there will be some player content in there too, like a new. That's the new theme. That's what it is. Sort of like a. parapsychologist kind of Ghostbuster kind of theme. And maybe there might be some new other player options in there as well.
I want to play a Starfinder Ghostbuster.
Who doesn't? With the corruption system there in Horror Adventures, it got a little bit of flack for people going, well, I don't want to get corrupted. These benefits are cool, but they don't play off of you know, they're not worth the risk I'm taking. Does this system more for the GMs to just say, hey, this is a consequence of your actions? Or is it something that a player could aspire to? Because players want to aspire to that corruption system, which is weird.
Yeah, it's sort of a GM tool, but we like to sort of give the players the option to buy into it or not. The way I actually ended up doing the writing for that just to make sure that we had it done early, I wanted to make sure that it was it's optional for the it's not integral to the adventure path. Whether we put markers in there so you know when to use it, but I wanted also to have it be like, well, hey, you know, look at these some of these powers. I get to pick one. Maybe I'll decide to sort of give in to the corruption. It's a lot easier, I think, to fight off the corruption for the Starfinder one than in the Pathfinder one. As long as you don't really have a terrible bad day. At the end of the day, if you have, you know, it's basically for the end of the day, if you have some resolve points left, you can spend one to sort of fight it off for now. But eventually, there'll be a day where you've been knocked to zero hit points and have zero resolve, and then you fail that save at the end of the day, and you've taken a further step into whatever corruption it is.
And now my right arm is a tentacle.
No. Could be a benefit.
I mean, it depends if you liked having four fingers on that arm.
Or if you want calamari anywhere you go.
Oh. Well, it's also a benefit for NPCs in the campaign as a narrative kind of hook for taking them down a certain road or something like that. So...
yeah,
can be useful that way too.
Yeah.
Now comparing this to the horror adventures actually leads me to think of how has writing, now that you've got a lot of experience under your belts on this, how has writing a Starfinder adventure varied from writing a traditional fantasy adventure?
Well, the one I ended up writing for Dead Sons, it's actually kind of weirdly it takes place on a ruined city where you don't have the sort of comforts that you might have in an Absalom Station at your fingertips. So it becomes a little bit like a kind of more of a, that skews a little more fantasy, or at least, you know, not super science fiction-y than other stuff. But the ones I've been, you know, been through development on becomes a sort of question of like, you know, PCs have a lot of access to information in the future slash sort of the present. So, you know, you have to take that into account. Travel is probably more widespread than in a fantasy adventure. But there's a lot of sort of themes that you can hit about like, oh, these people are trying to do bad things. Let's stop them.
Well, you can also play on modern assumptions about technology and use that to your advantage when you're writing the story. Because a lot of people know a lot about modern apps and stuff like that. And you can use that information to work something into the adventure. I kind of already have in my adventure, so.
Ooh, I'm very excited about the second adventure path. Aeon Throne seems cool, but man, horror sounds great. After seeing what those worms did to Alex, I would like to see more things.
What can I say? James enjoys beating me up in adventure paths just like I do to him in Strange Aeons every month.
I get killed every week.
Oh, it's great. Every single session he's died. It's wonderful. And it's the best because he has the highest armor class and the most hit points in the group.
I'm so good at that game. I'm dead all the time. Sorry. Back to Starfinder.
Now that you've got to work with it, is the space combat and those sorts of rules going to work into these adventures?
Oh, yeah. We have, you know, we try to kind of... It might not be in every one of them. I'm trying to think. Yeah, for the most part, though, there's a little something... And at least one sort of encounter that involves the Starship combat rules so far. And we want to sort of show that it is part of our game, and we want to sort of let everyone know that, you know, we haven't sort of left it behind.
I don't think it's too spoiler to say that mine starts with it.
Yeah, a lot of them, and it ends up a lot of them end up either starting with Starship combat or ending with Starship combat. The tricky thing is to sort of make sure that the PCs have had the time to upgrade their ship to the correct tier, you know, to have the fight that you need to have at the time you need to have it. Because we don't really talk about how long it takes to level up your character, right? It just sort of, like, happens. Maybe you take a rest, or maybe you have some downtime on your ship, and you just sort of, oh, I get these abilities. But we have hard-coded into the rules. It takes X amount of days to level up a starship, to install a new thing. So we have to sort of occasionally sort of give sort of little tips in the adventure, like, oh, at this point, they should probably boost their starship next year so they can have the fight at the beginning of the next adventure or something like that.
Well, that leads me, since you mentioned it happening at the beginning of Signal of Screams, how do you make starship combat scary?
Lots of unknowns, I would think. And you know, it's possible that the beginning is not going to be, we're not dipping you directly into the horror 100%. I would say that the starship, from what I know, what Chris has written, the starship encounter at the beginning of Signal of Screams is kind of like that part at the beginning of a horror movie where you're about to go to the cabin in the woods. But first, everyone stops at the general store. And something weird might happen, and then there's always some guy who's like, "Don't you go to that cabin in the woods! You'll all die! I swear it all! You'll all die!" And then just disappears. You never see that old guy again. But it's like, and then everyone has a good laugh. Oh, well, we're just going to have a nice, relaxing vacation. There's nothing to be feared about in the cabin in the woods. But it's more of like planting that seed of what might happen, or you know, get everyone a little bit on edge.
Well, plus the thing about horror is rising tension, so yeah. it has to start out somewhat normal. I mean, what happens is somewhat to be expected in the region of space we're talking about. So it's not totally abnormal, and it's certainly not horrible.
Yeah.
So the horror comes later.
Oh man, creepy.
It looks like we temporarily lost James.
Okay. Oh well, let's keep going.
Was this your fault? Did you write this into the show notes?
What happened to him?
Is this horror for our podcast?
I mean, he did disappear right as we started talking about suspense and strange things happening.
James.
Oh God, he's here. What happened to him? Oh, it's horrible. Don't turn the camera. Good acting, right? Just good acting that we just did.
You might want to keep your development jobs.
That's what I want. That's what I want anyway. So I'm fine.
Oh, so what's some of the feedback you're hearing about the Adventure Paths right now? And how do you think they're being received, and this new announcement is being received?
I've been hearing, you know, people want some people are very excited about space horror. Some people, you know, don't care for that, and that's fine. We'll be moving on to something else pretty soon. It's only three volumes, so it's, you know, you don't have to worry about it taking up a whole half a year. I think people are excited to learn more about the Atlantis Star Empire. I've been basically reading a lot through the sort of like the asking questions about the adventures through the Dead Sons Adventure Path, and trying to like take that feedback and take it in stride and figure out how to make the next thing better.
Is there something specific that you've learned from Dead Sons that you are going to incorporate into future Adventure Paths?
I'm trying to remember if there's anything specific.
Well, we just learned that we should include about 1,000% more worms, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. We learned that. But that's totally. Yeah. I have sort of been, by listening to sort of like some of the AP actual play podcasts and some of the reading some of the boards that are, you know, our afflictions, our diseases are not anything to be laughed at.
Oh, no.
I almost brutal. Died.
And, yeah. I think they were a little more brutal than I maybe had thought when we were working on the core rulebook. But
Alex went on an epic rant on the afflictions when his character got horribly, horribly infested.
So rant might not be the best word, because that implied that like I hated the system and was railing against the mechanics. My giant tirade was more about how horribly I almost died to being pumped with worms.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
well, you should just use grays in an encounter, and you'll understand the affliction system.
I am so glad James isn't here for that. I don't need him to have that suggestion. Thank
in fact,
goodness.
Grays should just form a recurring enemy in everybody's campaign. That's what this.
I mean,
they're secretly an enemy in every campaign.
I mean, on the No Direction, Discord, we've had a lot of people asking, like, "Oh man, I want to know more about the Unseen. When are we going to hear more about the Unseen?" They sound like they'd be awfully good horror people.
It's actually a little bit about the not exactly. They might make an appearance in the next 6 months. Let's just say that.
No.
The grays and the reptoids might be lurking around.
Man, my worm-ridden soldier's gonna get probed.
This is not a good thing. No. All right. So
where's my J-pop adventure where we just go to a concert and that's the adventure? That's what I need.
I have in the back of my head floating around an idea of possibly just the Adventure Path is just a touring band, and it's like a series of Scooby-Doo style adventures or Josie and the Pussycat style adventures on every planet.
That'd be pretty funny. I would be down.
For I don't know if I. I don't think they would let me do that here, but comedy. Who knows?
No, Josie and the Pussycats did go to space eventually.
Yeah. So one rant that I totally. I'm sorry. Go finish.
I was just gonna say Jabberjaw. I think technically takes place in the future.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was gonna say that one rant that I went on is that RPGs need to do more with humor, because I feel like we're really good at trying to scare players, but we're not really good at making like the opposite, like the really funny moments, and we kind of expect the players to be funny by themselves. So if you wanted to do a funny AP, I think that would be amazing.
It's comedy is difficult to sort of get across on the sort of written word and the adventure, because it's so situational. And oftentimes, you know, the comedy comes from how your players have reacted to a thing or an encounter. I tried to weave a little bit of comedy in scenario 1-03 with the Beetle people. I don't know how it came across.
And
but.
Here I was hoping that you were going to tell me that that new free RPG Day module was laden with humor.
It should be. I completely forgot about that. I said that I was going to plug at the end of the show, but Skittershot is our Starfinder Free RPG Day product, and you have 4 Skittermander pregens. And yeah, there's some. I channeled some GLaDOS in there while I was trying to
write it. That's going to be great. That's amazing. I love GLaDOS, and I love Skittermanders, and I love a comedy adventure path. So maybe I just need to play Skittershot over and over again.
Play that. There may be a rogue massage table. I went to a weird place the past.
No, month. See, but
I've got an adventure path that's starting at a resort. The free RPG theme has a whole spa thing happening in it. I don't know.
You need a vacation.
I need a vacation.
But no, but like that's how you write a comedy adventure path, because you can't make situations funny because you don't know you can't make like dialogue funny because you don't know what the players are going to say or how they're going to react. So you just make ridiculous situations that make your players stop and go, wait, we're wrestling a massage chair that's trying to beat us up. Like I feel like that's how Weeby Goblins does it. Like the situations are so crazy that they're funny. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. I play a Skittermander in our dev game, and that's pretty funny. It's fun. Yeah. At least for me. It might not be funny for anybody else.
No, I think you're automatically funny if you are like 3 feet tall with 6 arms and your baby form was a leech.
And you can say, I'm 9.
with 3 on 3 different hands. That's funny.
Speaking of shout-outs and conventions, what's your convention schedule looking like this year, gang?
Well, I know we'll both be at PaizoCon, obviously. I'm pretty sure we'll be at Gen Con. I'm not sure. We haven't fully gotten all the information about that yet. I don't have anything else really lined up yet. Chris, you going anywhere? Are they sending you anywhere?
They're not sending me anywhere besides Gen Con and PaizoCon that I know of yet.
Yeah.
Well, with PaizoCon right on top of us, if any of our fans have anything cool to look forward to that you're involved with there?
Well, I'm actually running Skittershot at least twice.
Oh.
So as part of the lottery system. So if you can get in that, that'll be fun. Yeah, we're talking about all sorts of, and I think that might be where we're going to announce Chris's AP.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hopefully, because by the time August rolls around for Gen Con, it might be too late.
What do you mean announced?
Just sort of at the banquet or at the AP panel. We have to sort of announce it before it ends up on the store. Okay. And people just sort of stealthily find out about it. We just sort of have a big to-do.
You have to give us an episode content or else we can't talk about it.
Or that, yeah, too. So these guys can talk about it.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
I mean, it'll be a great episode because it'll be like, hey, remember that other episode? You can see us hint at that adventure path here and now watch us live here. It'll be great.
Awesome. All right. Is there anything else you two want to shout out that you guys are working on?
No. Oh, well, I don't know. Hi, Alex. I'm editing something he's writing.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you wanted to announce that because I didn't know if you wanted
already
to cross.
You put it on the internet, so why not?
Yeah, but I didn't know if you wanted to cross your Paizo hat with your U hat here on this show.
Well, this is at the end of the where I can talk about my.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, then I guess
that part.
Yeah, okay. So I ran a Kickstarter for a book that was all about weird ways to use skills in Starfinder. And Owen and I were talking, and Owen was like, you know, you should see if Keeley will edit it, because Keeley knows all the Starfinder rules. And I was like, I don't think I'm good enough for Keeley, but I'll try. And it turns out I was good enough for Keeley.
Yeah,
and Jason Keeley is my editor. I don't know. Maybe you have a higher standard than me. Like, you must be at least this. You must be at least Adam Daigle to hire me.
That's not true. I did a lot of stuff. I've done a lot of editing for Wolfgang and stuff. So, you know, it's not just Paizo people. I'll do freelance. So find me online.
You heard it here, folks. If you're somebody who wants to hire Jason
Keeley,
well,
it's going to cost you.
It'll cost you, but he's right there. Email him.
Hey, Chris, anything else?
What about you, Chris? Can we pimp you?
What are you working on, Chris?
I'm just working for Jason Keeley on his adventure path.
True.
First episode. So,
all right.
Nothing else exciting. What else has been announced that we're working on here? Anything?
I mean, everyone, Alien Archive 2.
Alien Archive 2. Yeah, I've been working on that.
Yeah, you've been working on that. Mm-hmm. It's coming out. That'll come out later this year. This is all stuff coming out like around October, November. Mm-hmm.
Anything cool you guys can say about Alien Archive 2?
The art looks pretty good so far.
The art looks pretty sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially the art for Alex's little...
Oh, no.
We have to...
Wait, the art for that is in already?
Well, sketches. We have sketches,
yeah. Oh, no. I don't think the world is ready for how great that's going to be.
We definitely want to shout out to PaizoCon, which is coming up on us in less than 5 weeks, gang. Crap. Ryan always has this on hand, and I don't.
Isn't it like 36 days or something like that? Does that sound right?
I mean, oh, yay.
Yeah. That would be, because 6 would be the 23rd of April. So, no, it would be 37 days. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Yeah. And this is going to be...
that sounds really soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is pretty soon.
Yeah, it's really soon.
This will be the first PaizoCon I'll be able to attend, so I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you all there. I know that No Direction as a network, we're planning some events and stuff at the convention that you all should pay attention to. There might be a live panel or some sorts of stuff like that. It is going to be at Seattle, the Doubletree by Hilton Hotels, May 25th through 28th the year 2018, as in a few days from now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If you're listening to this in the future, it was awesome.
It was probably great. Perrin, can I plug a couple other things about PaizoCon?
Sure. Yeah,
plug everything.
All the plugs.
I'm running one of the celebrity games with our awesome artist guest of honor, Taylor Fisher. I think that's right. That's going to be fun. I have something stupid in mind. And we're doing Delves. And what was the other thing? Oh, this year, like with other Starfinder developer Joe Piscini and I last year did a puzzle hunt that is was pretty well received. And we're doing it again this year. There will be prizes. So come, I think... You'll be able to maybe – it might even be mentioned in the program, so you'll be able to find it, or at least in the swag bag. You'll have the first page, and it's a bunch of fun little puzzles that we make. And
and you need to come play the Starfinder Delve, because then you can blame your death on me. Your inevitable, gruesome death on
yes.
me.
Oh, man, I don't know if I can handle that much blaming.
I'll just laugh. Blaming me just results in me laughing. I just –
He's cruel.
Ask Jason.
So
he
cruel.
Says, hey, you didn't do this thing. And I was like,
just laughing. It's like sitting next to the Joker.
Alex.
The agent of chaos. What? Huh?
Me? Sorry. I was going to go, Alex, do you have anything to plug?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that I just plugged my big thing. phrasing. Let me think. Anything else that I should plug? Mm-hmm.
While you're thinking, to go ahead and plug that No Direction will have an upcoming new show joining the network, No Direction Adventurous, we are going to be playing through War for the Crown with our special GM, Crystal Frazier, and a cast of awesome people. You can go to our website to find out more about that. The episode is imminent. Ryan has been furiously editing it, and it was a blast to play through. Some excellent people. We also announced the other upcoming show that's going to be joining the network, the RPG Design Club. More of that coming soon. Right. Oh, you were about to say something?
Me? Yeah. No, I was just giving you a thumbs up.
Yes, yes, yes.
You
yes,
did
yes.
good. And you got all of our great shows. Yes. If only we had some really cool celebrity person to run like a Starfinder version of No Direction
No, 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 no. We cannot do more of these. We can't.
I'm pretty sure Parham is like stretched his absolute limit.
Four podcasts is enough, guys.
If you've ever seen like Sonic Adventure 2, where Tails fights Robotnik and he goes, "My machine has reached its limit." That's Parham.
Oh, no. But
Parham's Tails.
This No Direction Beyond, No Direction Adventurous, and of course No Direction are all supported thanks to our generous patrons at Patreon. If you wish to support the show and help us produce more content, we appreciate each and every one of you. All right. If people are wanting to get in touch with you, Jason, where can they find more about you?
Oh, you can find me on Facebook under my name. You can find me on Twitter at Herz Weston, HERZWESTEN.
Okay. And Chris, where can people follow you?
The best place to contact me or follow me is on Twitter at Chris S. Sims.
And you can contact us and follow us at nodirection@hotmail.com for email, at facebook.com/nodirection, of course at nodirectionpodcast.com, and also nodirection on Twitter. Also, be sure to join our Discord server if you want to hang out with us throughout the week and find out all the cool stuff that's going on. All right, Chris, Jason, thank you all so much for joining.
We forgot something.
Well, we forget.
Did you plug the other new thing?
What other new thing?
The thing that Mona told us we had to do?
No.
Did you plug that?
I don't know what we're talking about.
The Patreon.
I just plugged the Patreon.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I didn't get that.
I did.
Yes. Plug it again.
No. Once an episode is enough, Alex. Stop it. All right. Until next time, gang, I'm Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Parham.
I'm Alexander Gunas, the Everyman Gamer, and James, who writes Code Switch, would probably also want to say goodbye if he were not being eaten by whatever horrible things are unleashing corruptions in Sick World Screams.
Basically, by the baying of the hounds, they're coming after me next. Alright, everybody, go beyond with movies.